Well, thanks for joining us here on WLJN.com. We're continuing our conversation with Aaron Boyd, a well-known artist who's traveled the world. He's from Northern Ireland, and he is here in Northern Michigan. In fact, Aaron, we're going to be talking about the two events that you're going to be involved with. We're also going to talk about what's your passion of ministry and much more than just music. And so we got a little bit of idea from the teaser we had on air just not too long ago. So, Aaron, again, for those of you who are just hopping online, just give me a brief recap of your life story and why are you up here in Northern Michigan?
Yeah, thanks for doing this, man. I appreciate it. So I grew up in Belfast, leading worship at my church, great church. It's actually the Revival in Belfast Church. I don't know if you ever heard that record years ago, Robin Mark, right. Days of Elijah and that kind of stuff. And one of my missions pastors asked me, would I go on a trip? And I ended up in Southeast Asia. I ended up in this town where prostitution and human trafficking and that stuff is, it's just rife. And we ended up actually having a night where we played in a brothel, and that was never on the cards or any of that kind of stuff. And in the middle of that, I ended up writing this song, God of the City. And actually, a guy from here, a guy called Chris Tomlin, he ended up hearing the song, and he began to sing it and tell the story. And so doors began to open for me to travel and do this a bit more. But something had changed, and I was like, I want to help people meet Jesus for sure. But then there's a flip side of that where it's like, I want to do more than just sing songs and lead worship. I want to help kids across the world. And so I met World Orphans, and we've been doing these things together, been leading worship in churches, in homes, just wherever people want us to come and play. We go and minister. I do what I do, tell stories about the songs that I've written, things that are going on in my family and the songs that have come out of that. And then we shine a spotlight on what the church is doing across the world to help vulnerable families and keep them together. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing this for about 8 years now.
That's awesome. And I'm looking on your website. It's AaronBoydMusic.com. Again, that's AaronBoydMusic.com. And you've got quite a repertoire of concert photos and videos that people can watch. And I think it's so awesome because we play God of the City on WLJN. And what an impactful song that has. And I remember when I first heard that, I says, who is this guy? And I think it was Chris Tomlin or somebody. I can't remember who was singing it. But anyway, I thought, man, that is an awesome song. And I found out that the background behind the song was because of what you just described, that it was in some place far somewhere else. And there was literally prostitutes and brothels and everything that were going on. And it's so cool to hear the story right from your lips, because the impact it's had on my life and so many other people. So you are up here in Northern Michigan. So tell me, what brought you here and what's going on?
So the guy that then kind of was... When I met World Orphans, you know, those guys ended up a couple of years later in the same place, and they walked the same street where I wrote the song. They didn't know the story of the song. They had no idea that they were walking past, you know, one of the bars where I had written that. And when they played the song, man, in their balcony from their hotel that night, still not knowing anything of the background of the story, they came back to the States, and then they heard the story, and they freaked out. So there's a guy from Michigan who lives in Lake City, and he's a World Orphan staff member. And I was playing at the Big Ticket Festival up in Gaylord, and he came up to me, and World Orphans had an experience tent set up where different living standards were shown all across the world and these kinds of things. And we just began talking about how do we do this. And so from that, from his friendship group and wider friendship group, we started traveling and started touring, and then that started growing more and more and more. We built an events department through World Orphans, and we've taken it into lots and lots of different states all over the US. And I've been on a bunch of trips and visited the pastors and seen firsthand the work that they do, and just absolutely love it. And our prayer as a family was, my wife and three girls, was that we would find an organization that would genuinely become family, because for us it's always relationship over resource. And so this summer we have an action packed, my wife gets in on July 7 and they're here till the end of July, so they're here for 3 weeks, I'm here for four, so we're 4 weeks just bombing all around Michigan, and I'm playing at different homes, different churches, and just different events that have been set up, yeah, so it's going to be busy. So, well, it's a beautiful state, so it's not hard to do that, you know. Right. Sometimes you're playing in someone's back garden by a lake, and it's just absolutely gorgeous, you know. So, it's a treat to be able to do this.
Well, I tell you, I think the dates that were given to me were July 10th, in Glen Lake. Is that an outdoor concert? How's that set up?
They're billing that as it's the Glen Lake Church, and it's happening 6 p.m. Now, it's a funny word, I'll not do it right, so please don't judge me, but it's like the Grail Eckville Park Pavilion, something like that.
Let me give you the Michigan translation of that. It's the Grail Eckville. And I do think that is, I don't know, that sounds an awful lot like... you know, some sort of Irish dialect, you know, maybe you would know that. I don't know.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't read the way it sounds, for sure. Yeah, the Grey Lake Park Pavilion, and they're kind of selling that as like party at the beach. And we've been to Glen Lake Church a whole bunch of times, so I'll be leading worship, and my wife will be sharing, and she's the preacher in the family, you know, and World Orphans will be there. So we'll have a time of worship. I'll sing some new songs, some old songs, some songs that people know. Just keep it really kind of chilled and really simple, and it'll just be a nice, relaxing time.
And that's coming up July. That's coming up July 10th.
July 10th.
Yep. So 6 p.m. Grey Lakeville, and then you've got another date coming up, July 22nd, and that's going to be right here in Traverse City at the Sojourn Church, which is awesome. I know a lot of people that go to that church, and I'm sure that they're totally geeked about it. So tell me, when you go to these churches, and like you described earlier, some of these are pretty intimate settings, like in people's own homes. What kind of heart do you share with people? What is the message that you're giving them?
So, I mean, even in my own family, we've had one of the songs that I share is a song called Jericho, and I wrote Jericho. My eldest daughter was born with cystic fibrosis, a genetic lung thing, and so we've kind of journeyed that our whole lives. And a bunch of years ago, we got word that she was going in the hospital for the first time. She had these really bad bacteria, and she had to go in for 2 weeks of intensive treatment, and that had never happened before. And we found out on a Tuesday, and that Tuesday night, I was an absolute mess because it was so fearful. You know, it was a completely new experience for us. I ended up with me and two other buddies, one of which is my worship pastor, and we ended up in his front room, and we ended up just writing this song this night out of a lot of tears, a lot of prayers, a lot of worship. And, you know, just the story of that, but the picture in it is that, you know, the story of Jericho. God says to the children of Israel, walk around the walls once a day for 6 days, keep your mouth shut. Then on the seventh day, you do it seven times. And on the last time, you lift up a loud shout, you let the trumpets play, you let the whole thing come. And then what happened then is the walls came down, you know. And the picture is, for us as a family, we have a big scary thing that's in front of us at times, you know, which is called cystic fibrosis. And we're on our journey of lapping that big scary Jericho. But always in doing that, there is a promise, there is a truth that sits and rules and reigns over it all. And my encouragement to people is, wherever you are on that journey of lapping those walls, you know, dare to believe for breakthrough, dare to believe for whatever it is, you know. And even in the midst of it all, the first line is, to all our questions, there will be an answer. And God's not afraid of our questions. And man, one day we're going to stand before the King of Kings. And I just think everything will make sense in all of a moment, and everything will fade away in light of his glory and in light of eternity. And so I just want to encourage people to keep on going, into some degree of rest in understanding who you are and whose you are at the same time. Do you dare to believe that they'll see breakthrough over your Jericho?
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. What a heart you have, and we appreciate that. Hey, you know, when you talk about helping out with World Orphans, how did you get started in that? What was it that got you involved or interested in that?
So when I came home from Pattaya, Thailand, genuinely something had changed. You know, this, it's almost like this switch had been flicked in my life, where this towards injustice, this kind of injustice, people being bought and sold, human trafficking, child sex exploitation industry, all of that. My sort of heart of stone towards it genuinely turned into a heart of flesh, and it was like, I need to do something about this. I can't sit on the sidelines and just watch. And so whenever we met World Orphans, they really plugged the gap in going, let's not just be people that kind of bust into places, rescue people, see people arrested, prosecuted, all of that kind of stuff, but let's not even let that happen. There is a global pandemic where there is 153 million orphans. So why is there that number? And the reality of it is, most of the time, 80% of the time, they have a living relative, a living parent. So it's not like a double orphan where they've lost both of their parents or all of their family. There are people that can look after them, but they can't afford it. So what we then do is we then, through World Orphans, we identify local churches on the ground that are already doing the business in reaching out to their communities. We come alongside them. There's small resource that's poured into them. They identify the vulnerable families, and we keep them together. There's savings groups, there's micro-enterprise, there's all of these things that help people begin to be able to function and live and generate their own income by themselves. And it's extremely redemptive. You know, we've countless stories of mums having to give up both of their children, and they try to visit them, but life gets hard. And it gets to the point then where maybe their youngest child doesn't recognize them anymore. And then through the work that we do, and the work that the local churches do, that mum is established, she's set up, she's able to get her own house, buy a wee bit of property, start a small business, and go back and then actually take her kids back into that family unit. You know, the Bible doesn't talk about orphanages, but it talks a lot about family, and kids do best in families. So let's try and keep that together, you know. And when Mike came to me and he said, Bodo, how do we do this? That was the start of it. You know, I'll share heart vision, DNA, and then we tell the world about what the church is already doing. You know, the church, it's a beautiful thing. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, we're talking with Aaron Boyd. He's a Christian music artist and an advocate for the children all over the world through World Orphans. And just about every time you are on stage, aside from the great music that you provide, you encourage people to support these orphans all over the world through World Orphans. And we've had the opportunity and the privilege as well here at WLJN to do a two-day campaign with World Orphans several years ago. We just finished doing one with Compassion International just about a week or two ago. And but it's all about having that heart of Christ that that breaks for those who are suffering. And that is obviously a big part of your priority. Does that heart for those kids come out in your lyrics and your songs a lot?
Yeah, it does. Now, obviously, there's like I'm working on new material at the minute, and there's I got to go to Israel, and I got to go stand at Caesarea Philippi, and you know that's where Jesus takes his disciples, and he says, you know, who do you say I am? And then ultimately Peter says, you know, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the Living God. And so I write stories like that, I write songs like that. But then I also write songs. I have a song called Beauty for Ashes, and it's actually on my Jericho record. And I wrote that when I got to visit a bunch of girls in Cambodia that had been rescued from human trafficking. And they were being, it was actually a safe house, so they were still in trauma counseling, and they were still in this really vulnerable place. And I began to genuinely sing over them. And I failed all of my exams, Peter, at school, so I am not a linguist, especially my English exam, which is really fun. The Lord has a sense of humor, you know.
Yeah.
The only two exams I ever passed were my driving test and my skydiving test. Well, I can drive a car and I can jump out of a plane, and that's about it.
There you go.
But I began to sing over them. You've given us beauty for ashes, a love and a mercy that wipes our tears away. You've given us hope for tomorrow and grace for today, beauty for ashes always. And so there's those moments that the story behind the song is very much in the moment of looking at a bunch of girls that have been rescued and singing over them, you know, that God brings the best redemption out of the ashes, and his heart is always to see you grow and flourish, and that you have a loving Heavenly Father. And the same promises, man, that I claim over my family and my kids exist for those girls and for everyone on the planet.
Yeah.
So there are songs that are like that for sure. It's revelation and response, isn't it? It's not about just trying to sit down and write a song, because that's the thing you do. It's about, what's the Lord saying? What's he doing in my life? What's he doing in my friends' lives and my wider community? Mm. And then when we write about that, there's an infinite more grace and an ease that comes out of it. And so, like, man, even the title track of this, it's called Mysterium. I heard a sermon a bunch of years ago, and this guy, he said this phrase about the Mysterium Tremendum et Fascinandum, and I was like, oh my goodness, what is that?
It's Latin, isn't it, or something like that?
It is. It's Latin. It's a German theologian, a guy called Rudolf Otto. And he's just trying to encourage, like, what actually happens when we take communion? What's the mysterium is that, like, an infinite God will use these elements to speak to us. The tremendum is that then we're reminded that we're in the presence of someone and something so much greater than what we are. And then the et fascinem is that there is a grace and a mercy and a call in all of our lives. And if that can be present there in that moment of a sacrament, and in the same way with Moses and the burning bush, God, in all of his infinite, is speaking through something that is finite, a bush. Then take off your shoes, for you're on holy ground. That's the tremendum. Then the et fascinem is, go set my people free. Mm. There's a call. Now, if God can be present in those 2 minutes, he can be present in every single minute of all of our days.
That's right.
So let's be people that learn to see him in the midst of everything. Mm. And that's kind of the call in that. You know, you're in the sacraments and you're in the seas. You're in the falling of all the leaves. That's some of the lyrics that are in the song, you know. And so that's just something that the Lord's been really doing in my life over a whole bunch of years, you know, just learning to see him in the small things.
Yeah, you know, and it sounds to me that the lessons and the experiences that God has allowed you to have in your life have been a huge influence on your music ministry. And you know, the you know how Jesus looks at children, you know, come unto me all these children, and you know, the least of these are the children who are impoverished, who are brutalized, and that is at the center of the heart of Christ. And you know, the innocence of a child is obviously something that the Lord wants to protect. And you sing about it. Your experiences obviously have influenced you. You know, Aaron, it's exciting. Again, you're going to be in Glen Lake July 10th, performing there, and also July 22nd at Sojourn Church in Traverse City. Is that all on your website, or what kind of information can people go to in regards to your schedule?
Yeah, social, the social media stuff, it's some of these I can't really put up because they're in private homes and I can't just go and advertise, you know, yeah, everyone come to this person's house and, you know, they've preferred for 20, 30 people and all of a sudden 200 people rock up to their back garden, you know.
Yeah.
And then it becomes like a festival in someone's back garden. So I have a bunch of stuff. I'm in the process of actually just working through what can people come to, what can they not, and they will go up on all of my socials. So just all the normal ones, the Instagram, the Facebooks, all of that kind of stuff. Just I'll have everything up on there. All of the info will be in.
Okay, I'm losing you, Aaron. I'm losing you. There must be some interference on that. Just tell me again what those media social media platforms are.
Yeah, sorry. So all of the like the Instagram, Facebook, those kinds of things. It'll be Aaron Boyd Music, and I'll have information up on that. The ones that people can come to, and we'll let everyone know what they are.
Okay, just type in Aaron Boyd Music, right?
That's the one. Yeah, I used to run under the term Blue Tree, but you know what honestly happened, bro? It's so funny because when we travel, then all of our guys, then ultimately, then Mr. God opens the doors in their lives and they all get married. They all then end up becoming worship pastors in Colorado, and this kind of stuff. And then it just got really awkward because everyone was like, well, where's your band or where's this person? And I was like, well, this person's now a worship pastor here or they're an associate pastor here or this. And it's something that I absolutely just look on and smile and in deep love that in this whole journey, God has kind of just opened their doors, you know, to go and find their way in life, you know, and for a period we were able to do this. So I just dropped the name Blue Tree because it was just getting too crazy, you know.
Well, it was, you know, it's a recognizable name. I mean, if I didn't know who you were, I certainly know who Blue Tree was. I mean, you guys have, God's used you in a big way. In that regard, we're coming down to the wire here in relationship to our conversation. Again, we're talking with Aaron Boyd, again, affiliated with a group like Blue Tree and has performed with Chris Tomlin and many, many other people in the music industry, specifically in the Christian music industry. And you obviously have a heart that bleeds for children and looking at the innocence of children around the world and your affiliation with World Orphans. It is really, really awesome to see that. I can't wait to meet you and talk with you further. Just in more of a trivial type of conversation here, I know I've never been to Ireland. Okay. I would love to be able to go to the British Isles. That's one of my kind of on my bucket list. You know, I'd love to do that. I know a lot of stuff's come out of Ireland, like Peaky Blinders. I'm sure that you're not proud of that. But
well, that's more England.
Is it? Okay.
Okay.
Okay, gotcha. See, there you go. There's my knowledge of the British Isles right there.
Yeah.
Is there any cool Irish movies that you like or your actors? I know Liam Neeson is Irishman.
For sure. I mean, I think did Kenneth Branagh just do the movie Belfast?
Uh-huh.
That's the one that's kind of just been out at the minute. We have a real thriving movie business, not an industry, the way they kind of, whatever way they kind of differentiate the thing.
Yeah.
So because of the shipyards, you know, where the Titanic was built and that kind of stuff, they have these huge warehouses that were there, the old painting houses and plating houses and these things. So now they're turned into state-of-the-art movie sets.
Cool.
So we have all of these big movies being shot in Northern Ireland that no one will ever know that they're being made there. It's kind of like a mini Hollywood now.
No kidding.
And so, yeah, straight up, bro, like all over. And Northern Ireland, I know it's not the most wholesome thing, but like a big thing was Game of Thrones. It was all shot there. There's tours that I don't really know where the spots are, but there's lots of that goes on, and you see the buses and, you know, people are hitting up all the sites. And then we've obviously got the Titanic and the Titanic Museum and that kind of stuff, you know. So it is genuinely, I had some friends over there just before I left, and we had them for 4 days, and I took them all around all over Northern Ireland, and we hit up all the best spots, and their mind was completely blown, and they're from today, you know. And it genuinely is. Honestly, it is like when the Lord comes back, Peter, he's coming back to Northern Ireland first.
Yeah. Hey, have you ever heard of Fisherman's Friend?
Is it the small wee tablets that you take for your throat?
No. I'm talking like my wife and I found this movie called Fisherman's Friend. I don't know if it was shot in England or in Ireland, but you got to see this, man.
Okay.
I mean, these there's 9 or 10 of these fishermen, real rough, you know, scrubby guys, and they can sing like unbelievable stuff. I mean, these sea songs. So. Hey, I got something on you, man. I've got actually something that you did not know from your own area. So, and there you go.
I'll go and look into it and see.
It's called Fisherman's Friend. Fisherman's Friend.
And it's a movie.
It's a movie. It's a really good one too. I love it.
Now, if it's shot in Scotland or England or Wales, I'll be extremely disappointed.
Well, you know what? My knowledge of the geographics of the British Isles aren't good, but I sure like whatever is coming out of there. There's some good movies. Anyway, hey, it's been great talking to you, Aaron Boyd, longtime musician and just lover of Jesus and lover of children. I love your heart. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in concert on July 10th at Glen Lake and July 22nd at Sojourn Church in Traverse City. And again, Aaron Boyd Music, that's AaronBoyd Music. And all you got to do is type that in. You're going to get the information that you need about you. And I'm looking forward to seeing you, Aaron.
Thanks, bro. I really appreciate it. It means a lot. And thanks for all your support over the years. It genuinely, it makes a big difference. It really does.
Our pleasure. Our privilege. All right. God bless you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bless you.